Blog Talk Radio.
Radio, and this is Talk to Me, hosted by the one and the only, the most fantabulous, loveliest, wealthiest, and most jubilant sister in the world. That's right. My name is Minister Cherie Humphrey. I am the founder and president of Diamonds in the Rough, Finding the Spirit in Me, and the producer of A Star is Born Talent Events and Talk to Me Media. Our motto is Standing Firm on the Promises of God. Thank you so much for tuning back in. A lot has transpired in the last 2 weeks since I had the last show, and it has just been fabulous. And I'm going to tell you all about it. Tonight we are talking about pain to triumph. Triumph or victory, same thing. So I have two wonderful women that are going to be coming on and sharing who they are, what they've been through, how they have overcome, and, you know, what it is that they have coming up and things of that nature. I do want to get into a little bit of the background of the show in case people are listening for the first time. This is the 12th season. We've been doing this 12 years, over 400 guests, over 200 episodes, over 10,000 listeners, reaching the U.S., Canada, Germany, Indonesia, Cameroon, Philippines, India, Ireland, Sweden, South Korea, Malaysia, and Japan. So I am going to be reading the past guests, but I'm not going to do that until the middle and the end of the show, give or take the time limit that I have. But you know I got to give announcements. What I wanted to say is happy birthday to the celebrity DJ Wanku, my cousin. He is such a wonderful man. He's just all over the place, just working hard, working day and night. Yo-Yo, the legendary hip-hop artist who I interviewed over the weekend at the Summer Groove concert, such a sweet woman. She's still beautiful like she was back in the day. Still got the same energy. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, it was a dream come true to interview her. So happy birthday to her. The second guest that I have on tonight, is her birthday this month, Karina Fort. So I just wanted to give shout outs to all the people born in the month of August. I didn't have time to look up who is who because this week has been extremely busy for me. I did spoken word on Wednesday at the Metric for Jackson's comedy show. And I want to give thank you to my friend Yo-Yo for videotaping it and all my friends who supported and came out on that night. It was a beautiful, breezy night, not hot like fire like the day before was. So it was really nice. And as I mentioned, the Summer Groove concert It was a pleasure. I mean, I was wore out and tired. Every part of my body seemed to be hurting. So I am so glad that I had the assistance of my friend Yo-Yo, Johanna Robertson. Also, my other friend was out there because she was in charge and coordinating the vendors and everything else that she was involved with, ML Brooks, who helped take pictures near the end. And also, as once again, shout-outs to DJ Juan Kuhn and Ernest Brown, who was one of the coordinators. I interviewed Yo-Yo, Donnell Jones, Special Ed, Kaylee Roselle, David Davis, Ebony, who will be coming on my show soon, and also the Top Notch Band, who includes Willie Bam Bam Parker, Robbie Day, and Jazz. I didn't get a chance to find out where the lead singer at went that just started singing for them not too long ago, who was Rue, and he did a fantabulous job. Phoenix Fire performed, Kiki West performed. I have interviewed them before on my radio show. Phoenix has supported Diamonds in the Rough. And also Liera, she performed. I didn't get a chance to interview her, but it was just a dynamic time. It was so long, my God, but it was worth it. So in any case, I just want to say to people, I have a new radio broadcast show for pre-recordings, and that show is called Talk to Me Too. Okay, so I added that two on there. I'm going to put that link up on my show page so that if you want to hear these interviews that I did, you can go there and just click on what you need to click on. You got to go. You got to go to the show page first for that particular site, and then where you see episodes at the top, click episodes, and then you're going to see a list of interviews and the people's picture right next to it. Also, I want to let you know that you can support me or Diamonds in the Rough by booking me, booking Diamonds in the Rough. There's so many different things that I do and that I do with Diamonds in the Rough, you know, curriculum for children, et cetera, women survivor of abuse workshops, et cetera. If you want to support in another way and God lays it on your heart, you can send a donation to my Cash App or my PayPal if you don't have Cash App. You can buy books. So please go to my website, which is on the show page, www.ditrfindingthespiritinme.org. And you can go through each page and see what it is that you connect with. I am going to actually read a couple of scriptures before I go to another music break and then bring my caller in. Okay. 1 John 5:4 says, "For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith." Psalm 149:4 says, "For the Lord delights in his people. He crowns the humble with victory." Psalm 3:8. Let me back up for a second here. Because I was going to mention something. If you want to be on my show, you know, contact me. You want to have an interview, you want to promote your business, you want your MP3 played, let me know, inbox me, text me first. But I just got to say something, because some people just take for granted that I must interview you. I don't have to do a doggone thing, because half the time I'm doing this out of the kindness of my heart, most of the time. So if you are reaching out to me and you want to be on the show, but you can't send in what I'm requesting of you in a timely manner and in the format that I needed, just, you know, following directions. Because I tell you the truth, most of the celebrities that I've interviewed over the years are more humble than the people who are not celebrities. And they're trying to get to a celebrity status, a lot of them, because they're artists. But I got to pull teeth just to get you to follow directions. I'm going to tell you straight up right now, you will get cut off. I will delete you from the show, and I will not schedule you. Because if you are professional, it's only common courtesy to send what you need to send in that the person is asking and requesting of you, and to do it in a timely manner. And I say certain things for a particular reason. Don't call me up the day of the show asking 5 million questions when you didn't had a month in advance to ask what you need to ask. This stuff is ridiculous. All right, Psalm 3:8. Victory comes from you, O Lord. May you bless your people. I'm just talking the truth. Just talking the truth because nobody else would put up with it. Psalms 62:7. My victory and honor come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. Thank God for that one. Amen. I ask for a hedge of protection all the time around me and my family and friends. Psalms 18:35-36. You have given me your shield of victory. Your right hand supports me. Your help has made me great. You have made a wide path for my feet to keep them from slipping. So a lot of times people who are not Christians, or they may have accepted Christ, but they have not had or established a relationship with God, a form of communing with him and communication and dialogue with him. And so they don't understand a lot of things, and they're not reading their Bible, so they don't know. They're still, you know, ignorant to certain things. And what I do know is what it says in the Bible. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. And just because someone has accepted, you know, Christ in their life and they're walking towards the right direction doesn't mean they're perfect. It means we're striving to be perfect. And we know who to go to when we are in trouble. We know how to praise God, and everybody is different and unique. We don't have to do it the same way we see Sister Jones with the big hat do it. We don't have to do it that way. We all are unique, and we talk to God. We should be talking to him in our own way, because what I do know, God works out the kinks. He will work it out if you want him to. So he's a gentleman. He can be anything you need him to be. He can replace the love, not replace, but he can be the one to fill the void if you're missing a loved one. So I'm telling you from experience, you know what I'm saying? So in any case, just, you know, if you don't know something, just ask. That's all you got to do. Just ask. Just if you want to know more, if you want to learn more, just ask. You know what I'm saying? But in any case, let me move on from there. I'm going to play a little bit of It's a Thin Line Between Love and Hate, because we are talking about pain to triumph. This is a classic by H-Town, Shirley Murdoch, and Roger Troutman.
It's a thin line between love and hate.
Well, I just gave you a little bit of taste of H-Town, Shirley Murdock, and Roger Troutman's Thin Line Between Love and Hate. The old heads, mature crowd, you know that song. So in any case, I am going to plug my first caller in at this time. Hello?
Hello. Hi, Cherie.
Hi. How you doing?
How are you? I'm good.
Well, tell everybody. I'm fine. Tell everybody who you are.
I am Tishy Anderson. I am the owner and founder of Inspired by Faith, Love, and Hope, and I am a cancer warrior.
All right now, I hear that. And I met you. You were a vendor at a comedy show that I went to maybe about 2-3 months ago, something like that. And I came over to your table, and I just really was talking to you, and I appreciated what you were saying. And I told you how I had lost, you know, some family members, you know, to cancer and things of that nature. And one of my friends survived cancer like you did. So I said, I want to promote this because, you know, we all have somebody in our families or loved ones that have suffered from this particular disease. So, tell me how you started this, and what is your testimony from pain to triumph?
Well, so my testimony starts with 4 years ago in November, I was diagnosed with stage 2 breast cancer. I had none of the normal symptoms that you would think that the doctors, I should say, would think are related to cancer. Long story short, you know, ended up finding out I had the breast cancer. I didn't want to have surgery right away because December, Christmas was coming. I wanted to be able to be good, to, you know, interact with my grandkids. So I waited till February, February of the following year of 2019. I had surgery. I had a double lumpectomy. I didn't have to have a mastectomy because I don't have the BRCA gene, but I do have an aggressive cancer gene. I will explain that in a second.
Yes.
So I had a double lumpectomy, had reconstructive surgery, did my radiation, so forth, all my treatment, found out. When you have surgery, for those who don't know, when you have some type of cancer surgery, the day of surgery they also do basically another biopsy, so it's called a pathology report. So they take some, you know, more tissue and test it again. I had gone from stage 2 to stage 3 in just those couple of months, and so that's when we knew I had an aggressive gene. Fast forward, after doing all of that, thought I was good for a couple of years. New Year's Eve day of 2020 going into 2021, I got some test results back because I get tested. This is key. I get tested every 6 months, get like a full body scan. I get all these crazy tests. Because of this,
wow.
I found out that I had stage 2 ovarian cancer, had no symptoms.
My God.
So I said, okay. So January 14th of 2021, I had a full hysterectomy. Came home for, and I have 4 kids, 8 beautiful grandkids, and 1 on the way. Throw that in there.
Well, praise God
so,
for that.
I'm finishing. I finished having kids, so it wasn't a big deal. You know, hysterectomy seems kind of normal. I came home. I spiked a fever of 104. Went back to the hospital because I was so sick, and ended up that I had an infection. I had an abscess, which many times is common after surgery. So in the beginning, it didn't seem anything that was out of the ordinary. During that process of draining the abscess to get rid of my fever and blah, 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 they put this tube in me. And the tube, I swear, is probably about 6 feet worth of tubing that they put in your body. They ended up puncturing my bladder.
Whoa.
So I ended up staying in the hospital for 5 weeks because of all of this going on. During the time that I'm in the hospital, I'm getting a CAT scan about every 2 to 3 days to check the abscess, make sure everything is okay. The doctor says one day, you know what, while we're checking your bladder, I'm going to check your gallbladder, your kidney, your liver, you know, while we're there. Okay, you know, I really don't have a choice. I didn't have any issues, so at least so I thought. Come back 2 days later, they tell me I have cancer clusters on my kidneys. So in one way, that was a blessing. When I say God works in mysterious ways, it was a blessing for the doctor to even say that, to do it, because I wouldn't have known, because I didn't have any issues like going to the bathroom or anything. So long story short, I go through all of this. I got part of my kidney removed, part of one of my kidneys removed. And then fast forward, I get out of the hospital and have a body scan in June, test everything, comes back. I have a tumor on my lung, on my left lung.
Oh, come on.
The devil is busy, and I have never smoked a day in my life. So July 9th,
I tell people that it ain't got nothing to do with smoking. It's true.
No. You are so right. So in July of last year of 2021, I had part of my lung removed. And that was the last surgery that I had, but major surgery, but it was the domino effect. And I was out of work more than I was at work because I was in the hospital or recuperating and so forth. So from that, I have to give a shout out to when you came to the comedy show that night, it was the birthday boy. His name is Freeze. He's like a brother to me. And he said to me one day, I went to drop something off at his house and standing in the doorway. And he said, hey, so why don't you take the logo that you had? Cause I had made this logo for my 50th birthday. I'd made t-shirts for my grandkids that said, I'm my grandma's inspiration. And I in the word inspiration was a cancer ribbon. But I'd only done it for my grandkids because that was my inspiration during my breast cancer, you know, the first part. And he said, why don't you just take that and, you know, make a logo and put on some T-shirts. Sell it for like $20, make some money, because he knew that I was kind of like not – financially was not in a good place from being out of work for so long. And I was wow, it was like ding, 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 you know, red light went off. And I really have to thank God for putting somebody like him in my life to even suggest it. So fast forward, he gave me the name of a printer because he works for a company. He's like, my boss's son actually does T-shirts. I do the paper side. He does like the, you know, other stuff. And from there, it just blossomed. And I started with T-shirts. I just kind of added on things. So now I've got a whole bunch of things, you know, you could get a tote bag, you could get leggings, which are popular. When you saw me at the comedy show, the leggings were the first things to come out that all the women like because they've got two pockets, you know, sweatshirts, all kinds of stuff. So it's been a blessing that it's happened. I mean, you know, I'm not a billionaire off of it, but it is definitely growing and the word is getting out there. I'm in the process of building the website, but I have my email for people to order stuff from. I've been promoting on Facebook and Instagram, word of mouth. I've had my oldest daughter who's on the phone listening. She was my first model, so I have to say thank you to Ariel. I've had, you know, people who were so willing to just buy something. I've had one of my sisters in Delaware who I know is on the phone, Tiana, has bought stuff.
Yes.
My cousin, Tina, in Jamaica, Queens, I know she's on the phone. She bought the very first, she got the first T-shirt. She bought something again, you know. So I have people who have, and there's others who I know are listening, who have sisters and brothers who are like sisters and brothers to me who have bought stuff and are helping to promote. My sister Lisa has been an advocate. She got me at her church to do pop-up shops, which was awesome. So after the comedy show, I did two pop-up shops at her church, which was just amazing because it was just a blessing to be able to expand for just this one-man show over here, which is just me. So I'm really thankful to God for that. I'm thankful that God has brought me through. I mean, I don't mean to get emotional, but I'm the crybaby. So
it's
I'm
all
sorry,
right, honey.
It's, I know my testimony, and I know what God has done for me.
Yes.
And I know that
it is
only by his grace that I am still here, because the devil
absolutely
has, the 2021, he tried everything, and in all honesty, he is still trying, because I,
my God,
since I do have an aggressive gene that unfortunately, no matter how many surgeries I have, I can't get rid of the gene, and I have survived some things, but I still currently, in February, I found out I have another tumor on my right lung. I have opted to step out on faith and not do surgery at the moment for that, just because of all of what my body went through.
Has gone through,
unfortunately,
yeah.
the cancer cells have traveled to my neurological system. So I've done things with radiation pellets in the base of my neck, by the base of my brain. I am doing that as treatment. So, to look at me, most people will not know. So I'm thankful that
right,
I haven't,
you look great,
quote unquote, looked sick, but I have my moments. Oh, trust me,
right,
every morning I say, God, give me strength to make it through this day. But
yes,
my grandkids are my inspiration. My kids are my inspiration. But anybody who knows me will tell you, my grandkids are, that is my will to fight.
Right.
And that's no disrespect to my kids, but those, they're like my babies,
Right.
I know that I can't let the devil win. So,
no,
it is just
no.
There are days that you don't want to fight because I'm human.
Mm-hmm.
I am human.
Yes.
And it's sometimes it just outright sucks. But at the end of the day,
right,
I know that I have a lot to live for. I want to see my youngest grandchild grow up, get married, have a boyfriend, or go to the prom, all
yes,
that stuff. So that is my. That is my internal will to fight, no matter
right
what God has put on me.
But I also
live with the reality of what can happen because I will share this also. Last year, the doctors gave me a timeline, and I have beat that timeline. They told me 6 to 12 months, and that was my 12
Jesus
months would have been up in February of this year, and I'm still here. So I guess I'm stubborn, in one way. My zodiac sign is a Cancer, but I know that, I definitely have a family that prays. I have friends that pray.
That's important.
My sister Lisa, my friend Lisa prayed in the parking lot of a restaurant for me. I mean, these are the kind of friends that I have in my life, and I've known Lisa
that's right
for 40 plus years. Prayed in the parking
ain't nothing
lot
to be ashamed
of a
about
restaurant for me. And I'm not.
Ain't nothing to be ashamed about.
Right, because I know where God has brought me from. So, even though sometimes the reality kicks in, I still know that if I keep my eyes towards the hills, I know who my real doctor is. My number one
that's
doctor.
That's right. Absolutely.
And I thank God for having good doctors.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm in awe right now because I talked to you on the phone a couple months ago, and you told me some stuff, but you didn't go deep like this. I mean, it's like you said you had your kidney out. You got your breast,
right,
done or, surgery on that.
Yeah.
Then you got the hysterectomy. Then the tumor. I mean, my God. I mean, Lord have mercy. God bless you, yo. I'm telling you, I lost my two best friends to cancer, Prophetess Renee Jordan, who was my mentor for 3 years. If it wasn't for her, I probably would have been dead long time ago. And my girlfriend, Coco Melvin, we both collaborated together.
Yeah.
I would help her. She helped me with, businesses, ideas. I would do her brochures for her. And we were both artists, so we connected on so many different levels. And I lost my aunt, my mother's sister, and my mother's mother to cancer.
Right.
And so,
right,
I know how it is to watch somebody go through and suffer. Both my mother and my grandmother and my aunt didn't want no medicine. They refused to take medicine, and I couldn't understand it. You know what I'm saying? And,
right.
But to each his own of how they want to do, go through their healing process. But I just
right
did, I couldn't understand at that time, Lord, if you're so powerful, if you're so this, I was a missionary. My grandmother sang in the choir. These were church women that I grew up with them. That you get a beating and a whooping if you ain't go to church. And my grandmother had me in church almost every day. I mean, you know, when we were real little. And I'm like, Lord, what's up? And then my two best friends get taken within 2 years of each other. I was scared to death. Mm-hmm. I just didn't want to get close to anybody, you know, anything, because I didn't want to go through the pain of watching it, number one. And number two, at that time, I didn't know what to say to them. I mean, I was in the hospital with them just telling jokes, because that's what I do. I'm a comedian, too, so I'm trying to make them laugh and cheer them up. But, you know, like I said, many are afflictions of the righteous, and we all have our own pain. We all have our own story of the things that we have come through. And my goodness, you are an inspiration right now to anybody going through. I know a friend that's dealing with it right now. She's like an auntie. You know, I call her my little white auntie. I love that woman.
Right.
And she just had her breast taken, her breast removed. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's wild, because I believe the food is doing this. Whatever they are putting in the food to preserve it or whatever, I think that's what it is. Because, you know, my aunt didn't smoke. You know what I'm saying?
And the doctor told me there's so many things that affect
it. What are they?
My mom's a nurse, a retired nurse.
Okay.
And so I was pretty healthy growing up. I mean, I eat my fruits and vegetables. I do eat a lot of junk food. I mean, I love pizza and candy and cake, but I still ate all the other things,
Lord.
My fruit and vegetables and things I should. But because of a lot of the way things are processed and so forth, the doctor told me there's just so many different factors in food, because even like when we were kids and I went to school, nobody was allergic to peanut butter. That was just unheard of. Yeah, peanut butter and jelly, you know, and now everybody's allergic to it. But you know, it's almost like the more research I did on things, you could, you know, apple juice causes X, Y, and Z, and then white bread can cause cancer. That I've learned. And so but no matter what you do, whatever. So no matter what you do, there's always something that can trigger something else. But I also out during all of this, and I had heard this years ago when before my father passed away, I heard a minister say that any medication that you take has at least one ingredient that by itself can kill you. But mixed with whatever else, the other ingredients, takes rid of your headache, or, you know, keeps you from having a stroke or whatever it may be. And at the time, I was 13. My dad passed when I was 14. I didn't really think too much about it because I wasn't taking too many medicines. But then after the breast cancer, so there's medicines that I have to take for the next 5 to 10 years and so forth. And there are things that now that because of this, I am seeing, or I have those side effects because I'm taking this to help suppress the estrogen so that I don't get breast cancer again, because I still have a lot of my own breast tissue, but it causes osteoporosis. So my bones are brittle and I'm having issues with that. I'll find out how those tests go this week. And it's almost like a catch-22. So, but then I've got to take the doctor was telling me that I have to do some other type of therapy to strengthen my bones, because I'm taking the medicine that makes your bones deteriorate. So then they're going to give me something else to help try to rebuild the bones if it's not too far gone. But it's almost like, when will you ever win? You know, because then when I take that medicine, that's going to have another side effect of something else and everything else that comes with it. So I'm just kind of like, it's almost like you seem like you never win sometimes, and that's the frustrating part. And for people who really know me that have been there from day one, like my other sister JoJo, who's in Florida, she and Tiana could also tell you, I used to always say, you know, I try not to dwell on whatever was going on. if I felt good, I don't want the sympathy. And I've told people this. I don't want the sympathy because I know that there are people that didn't come out of the hospital. I was in the hospital when COVID was at its highest, and nobody could be in there. I couldn't see anybody. I had to video chat my kids and grandkids, and they couldn't come to the hospital. And I still can't. People,
oh, yeah,
you know, died
right.
of COVID. They died of other things. But I'd rather you say, hey, you know, Tishy, what's going on? You feel good today? Let's go out. Where are we going for lunch? Where are we going for dinner or whatever else, or whose birthday we're celebrating? Because I don't want to be in that depression of the sympathy, because it happens naturally just because you're going through it. And I started feeling
right.
like every time I go to the doctor, you're not telling me anything positive. And you get to a point where you're like, well, you know, why fight? And the doctor told me from the beginning, 99% of this is going to be mental, because if you don't mentally fight, your body is not going to physically fight. And now I know what he's talking about. I mean, after going through those
okay.
last four and a half years, I know what he means, because I have seen whenever I've gotten to that point that I'm just like, I want to give up. I don't care. I just, you know, I'm tired. And even more recently,
I know
just
what
because
you mean.
I am like, you know, especially with now what is going on with this new issue with the brain, and I actually got my brain MRI back.
Well, you know
last
what?
Week.
We
I'm like,
people who are listening you know? Right now, seasoned Christians, and you know the power of prayer
mm-hmm.
because I'm not in your
yes.
shoes, so I don't know. I can, you know, empathize with you, but I don't know exactly how you're feeling. And so, you know, if you have any power of God in you, I want you to pray for this woman when you get off this line. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying not to get sick because this week has worn me out. I mean, it was good, but my
right.
body's tired. And right. I'm trying not to get a cold. I ain't got no COVID, y'all. I'm trying not
right.
to get a cold. So, in any case, I just want to thank you so much for coming on. I want
thank
you to
you.
Tell people right now, in order to buy your what you're selling, your merchandise, how can
yes.
they contact you? Can you please say that?
Yes. So I can be contacted through my Facebook page, which is my name, Tishy Anderson. So you see me, my picture, you say I post it there, through my Instagram page, which is strawberry196991. And also you can email me. If most people don't know my regular email, I have now created email just for this. We're inspired by, so the company or the logo is Inspired by Faith, Love, and Hope. The email address is inspiredbyflh@gmail.com, or people can just call me at 203-801-8511. And I have
and,
to say thank
I'm,
you to everyone that's
okay.
on. They've been texting me while we were on the phone. I had freezes on. I have to say my
Dave
kids,
Freeze, that's Rona's husband, right?
Everything. Yeah. So Free, he's the one that
okay.
he's the one that inspired me to start this company. So I have to give him credit. And one day I've got to give
okay.
him a finder's fee. a lot of people like that. You know, I've had my son and daughter's dad is on the phone. He's prayed for me. He has been
yeah,
praying
I
for
see
me.
The
so
numbers.
I appreciate that. Yes, there's,
yes.
there's a,
mm-hmm.
quite a few that have been texting me saying, I'm on, so hi, everybody, and thank you. They know how to get me before everybody else. Please feel free to call me, Facebook, Instagram, and like I said, the email to order or to get information, inspiredbyflh@gmail.com. And I appreciate
yes, and I wish you Godspeed.
I appreciate you for having me on.
Yes.
Thank you.
You are so welcome. I just want to say, too, I know it must be a very hard challenge to stay positive in your mind, but just stay away from negative people. Of course, I think you know that. People who can't pray or don't know how to pray, don't. What you can do
right.
is buy something from her. So there's always a way that you can help. Like, I have you on because that's my way of trying to give back to you so that you can share this link with anyone in the world that you, you know, and send, you know, it out. So that's why I wanted you on, because I felt that we need to know what's going on. And you are a great testimony. Do you know that it could be somebody listening that may not even have had to deal with half of the health issues that you've had to deal with and still think that they can't make it? But look at you. You are talking to
me. I'm thanking God. Yes, yes, I am.
You know what I'm saying? And you done went through all of those removals of organs and all kind of stuff. So, yes, you're a testimony. You are positive to someone else because they can say, well, she can survive, I can survive too. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
you
just stay positive, take as many vacations as you want to. You know what I'm saying?
I've got to go to
live it up.
I got to go see my sister Aisha. I know she's listening too. Hi Aisha. I'm trying to catch everybody, but I just appreciate it. You know, but because I've had people like you say that have just prayed for me from even before the breast cancer. So a lot of these people they've been in my life way before, or all of these people I should say have been in my life before then. So it was very easy, you know, even if they didn't know all of what was going on, and I hate to say, some things I waited to tell my kids for a little while because it was just, how do you tell your mom and how do you tell your kids? The breast cancer
and
everything else after that. But you know what? God is good. And
yes, he
God
is.
Make
and
way.
I
kind
of stop you right
have,
there. Because I do have my second caller who is waiting patiently on the line. I've gone over a little bit, but it's okay. One last time, give your phone number out to people you want to support you.
Phone number is 203-801-8511, and I can send people information if they reach out to me as to what I have.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, sweetheart. And you stay blessed.
Thank you. You too.
All right. You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There you have it. That was Tishy Anderson. Please support her if you're listening to this. Once the show is done and I interview my second guest, wait about 10, 15 minutes for the show to upload and everything, and for me to put it up as a feature episode, and then you could share this link to anyone in the world. So that is also a way of helping Tishy in her pursuit to bring awareness of the breast cancer and how she is surviving by the grace of God, and to bring her money for the merchandise that she's selling. Okay, let's keep it real. If you can go out here and buy Patron, you can go out here and buy Hennessy. You know what I'm saying? You can go out here and buy a $50 ticket to the club, but you talk about support black business, but you don't even want to give up a dollar for your own sister, your brother. That to me is whack. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just keep it real. You know, so put your money where your mouth is, okay, and help somebody else other than yourself. All right, and I'm going to move on from there. I'm going to play a little bit of Healing by Kelly Price. And when I come back, I will be interviewing comedian Karina Fort.
Take away this pain and misery, 'cause God, I just can't. gave my body and my soul away. Now I come to you, cause I need to be whole. Heal my soul, Lord.
I need a healing for my soul.
That was Kelly Price, Healing. I am just going to just say a few quick announcements before I click my guest in. At the Summer Groove, you had vendor Sheila Taylor McCoy. If you want jewelry, T-shirts, anything like that, Sheila has it. That's a friend of mine. Also, Grace of Gold, I bought a little something from her, and all her stuff is very, very reasonably cheap, I mean, and pretty at the same time. And she will work with you, and she also threw in an extra gift. So support her. Her online retail number, 718-415-7185. So you can look her up, Grace Engel, I-N-E, Express LLC. Also, the Gospel City Fest is coming up. The only person I know on the lineup is Lecrae. So I know he's very, very well known and awesome entertainer. That is August 27th to August 28th. And the concert is free. It's at Seaside. So look it up, City Fest. What does it say on this ticket? Cityfest.org. So you might know some of the people up there. I don't, but only one but him. Also, David Daniels, my cousin, is doing a jazz fest on the green in Bridgeport on the 27th as well, which is a Saturday. If you'd like to book me, send donations or buy my artwork or books, please go to my website. I'm going to read the past guests at the end of the interview with Karina. I just wanted to let people know I'm another accomplishment. And I finished another ministry class this last Thursday in Brooklyn. So right now I am going to click my next guest in, and we'll go over 7:30 just to give her some time. Hello.
Hey. Hey, you.
Hi, how you doing? I'm good.
Absolutely fabulous.
Yes, it is so good to hear you.
Thank you. Good to hear you.
Yes. Do you have me on speaker?
No, I actually have on. Let me see.
Because if it's on speaker,
okay.
Yeah, take it off because there's an echo.
Now?
It sounds the same.
It sounds the same? Let me see.
Yeah. All right. Maybe a little, maybe you're far away from the, I don't know.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I am. It is
you're
an echo
now.
Though.
Yeah. Yeah, you good now.
Okay.
You good.
Okay.
Yeah, but Karina Fort is from Atlanta. She's a comedian. I met her about a month and a half ago. And the reason why I liked you so much is because you challenged me. And, you know, sometimes I could be a little loud and get a little ignorant at the comedy show.
You're just having fun. You're just having fun.
That's
right.
What I do. They love it.
Yeah.
You know, Jackson and Juan, they love it. So I do it just being, you know, enjoying myself. And you was like, you get up here, light skin. You get up here. You was like, I want to pat you down. I was cracking up to myself. But... Tell me, you know, we need a little sunshine as far as, like, you know, laughing, you know, because Tishy's still listening. So, you know, bringing the laughter right now. What made you want to get into comedy in the first place? Was you always funny all your life?
I was funny all my life. But first and foremost, before we get into it, I'm from Connecticut. I'm a Connecticut girl.
Oh.
You know that, right?
Okay.
Now, I was born in New Britain. I only been down here almost 2 years. I moved down here because of all the opportunities or whatever like that. But I say
right.
I was born in Connecticut, but raised in New York.
Okay.
Yeah, I always have been funny, man, ever since I was a kid. I was
right,
the outspoken
right.
one, saying stuff, you know, I ain't supposed to say.
Exactly.
My father used to call me Chatterbox. He was like Chatterbox. He was like Chatterbox.
You didn't get punched in the mouth?
Nah. My father, I was his only girl. I was his prized possession, basically.
Okay.
I was that one. You know, as I got older, I get popped, like, you know, a little pop on the hand, but I used to say some unruly stuff. He was like,
I'm sure.
How does a little girl say something like that? Yeah, so I always been funny.
So you got detention a lot growing up in school then?
Well, you know, I used to first, having your mother back then, having your mother come to the school was a big deal. Now, you know, that
my mother was
crazy. She was like, you messing up my check? You know what I'm saying? You know you were in trouble. Like, you get like a triple whooping.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody that come over gets poppy. You should know better than that, grandmother, grandfather, right? Your dad, anybody popping you. It's a popping fest.
So true. Oh,
right?
My God.
Yeah, no. I used to beg them. When I got in high school, I said, please, let me just get in-house suspension. I know you're only going to give me 1 week. I'm going to take 2 weeks if you don't call my mama. That's what I used to say to them. Please don't call my mama off her job.
For real. I know that's right. Yeah, things have definitely changed because it sure wasn't like that when we was growing up. For real, it was hard. They took stuff real serious.
Yeah.
For real.
Now, because I think they was embarrassed though. You know, our parents was embarrassed when we did stuff because now it looked like they're not doing their job as a parent.
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and you know, sometimes they wasn't. So I mean, I put you on blast. I mean, the babysitter be like, "Tell me what your mama did." I be like, "She did this. She did that. She did that."
And you'd be in even more trouble when she get home.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. But did you ever say to yourself, once you were getting out of high school, you're going to get training? Or did you just like immediately jump into being on stage and doing stand up?
No. As a matter of fact, I wanted to go into the military. I wanted to go into the Air Force and possibly be a pilot. I know I definitely wanted to be an engineer. So I wanted to do that. And my father said,
wow.
Yeah, but I had got a scholarship to run track in New York. My father said, I said, Dad, no, I just want to, you know, I just want to be out here like regular people, you know, let me just go to the military. He said, what? Get in my truck. He took me in the truck. We went down to the avenue. You know the avenue. Anybody got one? And he said, look, these are regular people. I said, all right, I'm going to college. That's it. I'm going to college.
Okay.
I can't be regular people. I was like, that looked like a poor living. I never wanted to live like that.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. I know what you mean, girl. Believe me, I know what you mean. But so you decided to go to college, and what did you take, engineering at college?
Yeah, mechanical engineering. I actually have a master's in it. So, and I worked for it about a little over 20 years in the field. And it was great money. Now the money was amazing, right? But the stress,
right,
that, you know, our parents had instilled in us, like, you gotta be smarter than them, you gotta be this and them.
Yeah.
I'm saying, like, I said, they ain't even in competition with me. I'm in competition with them, but why? You know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly, because they ain't doing nothing.
Right? Right. And I said, you know what? That's it. I started to get a couple of gray hairs. I was like, yeah, I'm retiring. So,
okay.
So I was like, I got to get out of this. And I was like, yo, hold on. I said, God, I talked to God first. I said, hey, God, listen, mm-hmm. I know this is what it was, but it ain't feeling right now. I feel like I was meant to be more and have more and do more. You know what I mean? And God was just like, yeah. So I took, there was a class they had in New Haven at Joker's Wild. You remember that comedy club?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Joker's Wild, I had took a class there. It was a week-long class. And in that class, they had a couple of, like, you know, it was, like, mostly black, you know what I'm saying, people in the class. It was only, like, five or six of us, though. And so it was, like, a nurse, a big dude. He was, like, almost, he was, like, Shaq, and he was a nurse. It was crazy. But he was funny.
Dang.
And then there was, I know.
Okay.
And then there was a lady. she was an attorney assistant. And she had an office in Greenwich. I was like, okay.
Wow.
But they said, you doing
right.
something. I know it. And yeah, and so then it was like two other, you know, white folks and just me or whatever. So when I went there, they was trying to teach me. They're not teaching you how to be funny. They're just really just trying to teach you, like, how to formulate a joke. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And so I was just like,
right.
I couldn't do it at first. I was just like, yo, this is crazy. I say something. He goes, yeah, that's what you write down, what I just said. I said, well, I'm writing it down when I just came up off the dome, and you know what I'm saying? I can put it together and structure it. And so,
right.
So then, yeah, then the attorney stepped in, you know, and she started speaking for me. She was just like, well, I think she learns that. I was like, look at this lady. Go on, sister. Tell him what I was thinking, girl. Professionally. So she did that, yo. It was dope, though. And it worked, though, for me. So I did my first
right.
show at Joker's Wild, right? And
okay.
I only told, you know how you don't know how things going to go, so you only tell a couple of people, like two?
Yes. Right.
No.
So in case you mess up.
One of my friends bought 12 people. 12
wow.
people. I was like, oh, man. So at first, I was like, come on.
Like,
I don't want no proof of this. Are you kidding me?
Honey, I know what you mean, because let me tell you, when I did comedy at Jackson comedy show in May, I was praying back, boy, fasting, praying, Lord, please let me do
yes.
I was in here praying back for my little ghetto character I was doing. Yes, I was, because I was like, I invited all these people, and if they get in, I told them, I said, look, if I mess up, you better laugh anyway.
that was your thing? Nah, I ain't know nobody in there except those people, and my friend brought her friend, so I didn't know none of them, but still, they
okay.
knew who I was at that moment, right? And so I was just like,
yeah.
OMG, this is crazy, right?
Okay.
So I was just like, yo, I said, all right, let me see what I can do. So I wasn't really afraid of the audience or nothing like that. It's just like, I've never done this before, you know, in front of a crowd. Like, me and Juan used to be in a rap group together years ago when we
For
were young.
Real? Oh,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What?
I didn't know you
yo,
was in
yeah.
that group.
What? It's, yeah, it's me
oh
and
my
them. And we had dancers and everything.
He
we
told
had dancers
me.
And everything. Yeah, that's me. I was
wow.
Mystique. Yep. I was Mystique. That was my rap name. And so
okay.
Yeah. So I was just like, okay, I'm because me and Juan have performed in front of like 25,000 people. So that's not
okay.
a big deal. But it's different with music. Somebody can bop off you know what I'm saying? Oh, they feeling your beat. They be like, okay. Even if they ain't feeling your rhyme, they feeling your beat. But when you out there and you're a
yeah.
comedian, it's just you and them jokes.
That's
you
right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Yeah, so because you know where Joker's Wild is located, right? And so
yeah.
So there was four black students that came from Yale, and I was like, son just
uh-huh.
said, yo, honor. One had a bald head. He was like, yo, Onyx. So I said, yeah, you know, thank you. I'm out here tonight or whatever. I said, I didn't even know celebrities are going to be in the house. I was like, Onyx. And the dudes played along with me. And I ain't know him from Adam now. We just went up and, you know, jumped up and down and singing, Onyx.
Yes.
Everybody's like, oh, she's
yes.
crazy. And I did my joint, and I blew him out the water. I blew him out the water the
right.
first time I ever stepped on stage. I was like, okay, maybe I got something. Maybe I'm going to think about really doing this. Maybe
yes.
I'll think about really doing
yes.
this. And yeah, so I
yes.
got into it, and 11 years later, I've been 11 years now.
Wow. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they call you the laughter therapist.
Yes.
Because, you know, laughter heals the soul, you know. is medicine to the soul. So it's like, you know, you comedians help heal, even if it's just for a little while, you know, because there could be somebody in the room, you know, ready to commit suicide, and they come out there, and it's like, their whole mind be changed. That's why I like good comedians that don't have to talk and degrade women, talking about all kind of nasty, disgusting stuff. You know, you just up there disrespectful, and then you ugly on top of it. I just want to take my cane and knock you right off that mic. But
Yeah, I don't have to
but
do that. I'm talking about regular life.
That garbage.
Yeah.
Yes.
You were good without
doing all of that.
Yeah, well, you know, for me, you know, when I'm up there, I'm just talking to the people. You understand? I'm telling my story.
Right.
But in a way where I know you're going to laugh, no matter who you out there. And see, I'm the type of comedian that could do any crowd, white crowd.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? PG crowd, it doesn't matter because I'm good with people. You know what I'm saying? Because I also do, I'm a life coach and a comedy coach. I teach comedy.
I see that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean,
so I do that,
you know,
too.
Right. And so what do you think sets you apart besides the fact that you're able to be versatile?
I think it's a few things. I think it's because of how I, like, I'm not talking at you, I'm talking to you. It's different. I make you feel like you're the only person in the room.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Like, when I'm talking, you be like, oh, my God, she's talking to me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's one of the things that sets me apart. Plus, there's no female out there like me. I'm a different kind of female. I'm tomboyish, you know what I'm saying? But I'm still always a woman, maybe not a lady, but a woman, you know what I'm saying? And you know what I'm saying? I got skills. Let's be clear. I got something to talk about. I got something to say.
You do got skills. You sure right about that. Because when I put that cane up, you said, hey, to one of my friends sitting with me at the table, I said, hold up. She off limits because she married. Leave her alone. And you was like, hold up, light skin. Well, you know, you and I was like cracking up. It was so funny to me. And I really, that was the highlight of my night that night.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that, seriously. I really do appreciate that. I have 4 shows that week.
You're welcome. For real? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because when I come up there, they want to get me on the show immediately. If I let them know any time ahead, I'm coming home. My show this day. They already got me on flyers and everything. I'm like, dang.
Yeah.
They're ready because, you know, because they look at, like, not saying I'm better than any other comedian out there, but I think, you know, I'm rolling with the times. Like, I learned a lot from people think that because you're older, you can't learn anything from the youth. You can actually learn a whole lot from them, as well as them learning from you.
Yeah,
but you gotta listen to them because, one, they know all this technology, and they give you a whole different look at it because one thing I love about this generation, right, is that they're not held down to the same standards as we were, which I'm glad, though. Because
no, they're not.
Think about it. If your parents would have let you be who you wanted to be, you might be, who knows, famous on some other end doing whatever, right? But we did what they said.
That's,
you know.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. I wouldn't have went to college.
And
I tell you that
point.
Right now.
Yeah, and see, I had no intention of going to college because I didn't have no one in my family, my immediate family, or even my extended cousins up here in the north that I could aspire. I'm the oldest grandchild. So, you know, it was all on me. You know, I was used to being an adult at a very, very early age, and I taught myself so much because once I was taken, you know, from my mother and put into group home, DCF, to, you know, protect my life. And then when I finally came home, I had a 60-something-year-old woman raising a 14-year-old. Yeah. So she didn't know what she was doing.
Mm-mm.
I was coming home 2-3 o'clock in the morning in ninth grade. I mean, so I was teaching me, You know what I'm saying? And
right,
so it's
right.
like,
you
know, it's
street.
Like, exactly. I learned from the streets, and then I did have an opportunity to go to college, and I took it. And I wish that I had never transferred and stayed in Ohio, but I transferred to Howard, and then I ended up having to come back home because somebody was stealing the money at that time. So
right.
it was, you know, I came home, but it's by the grace of God, I got my master's. I wanted
Yo.
It in architectural engineering, but I didn't get it. I got it in education. And so the kids teach you everything. They teach
yeah.
you everything. I almost had a meltdown trying to get on TikTok, and my niece, it was like 10 years old trying to show me.
Yo, that's the funniest, yo, that's real talk. That's real talk. Yo.
For real.
I know.
But
yeah,
what?
I was talking,
where do you,
talking
where,
to
Yes. Go ahead. What, tell me one thing then that one of the younger generation taught you.
Well, they taught me about marketing and promotion online. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you should do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, TikTok is not for kids as much as you think it is. Look, I was like, oh, shoot. They said, what you interested in? And I tell them, and they're like, oh, look at this. I was like, oh, okay. I didn't know they had this, and now they got me all in. And now I got about 16,000 followers or something like that. Or 1,600
wow.
followers.
Oh, that's
so
great.
I'm working my little way up. Yeah, so I'm working my little
yes.
way up or whatever like that. But see, my material is saying something different. You know, I be telling them, like, you know, like, I can't stand that they people use the word racist wrong or racist. You know what I'm saying? A racist, black people cannot be racist, not even towards each other. People
that's
don't understand.
Right.
It's a just prejudice. You have to have power
yes.
to change somebody's social and economic status.
Economic
but they've been using it so long. And yeah, and nobody even corrected them. I corrected them all the time. It was like, nah, black people could be racist. I said, no, we can't. We could be prejudiced. And yes, a lot of us are. And we got good reason to be, some of us. I'm just
that's
saying,
right.
if you feel that way, because look at all the stuff they're doing. It's ridiculous. You
yep.
know what I'm saying? So,
yep.
so you know, you always have love. I said, black people are the only people that stick up for everybody. Nobody stick up for us. You know what I'm saying? And the
right.
kids are like, yo, you just talking is dope. So I said, all right, so that's my thing. I don't even put up no jokes or nothing like that up there. I just, you know, if I see something funny, I just, you know, give them looks and make it funny. But that's it, really. You know what I mean? So
right.
I'm more maybe a semi-hilarious activist or something. You know what I'm saying? Kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I understand,
I'm just talking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes.
So they taught me that.
And absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And where are some of the places that you've played at, some of the major places that you've been on stage?
You mean as a comedian?
Yeah, as a comedian.
I did the Funny Bone, this one, the one in New York, and the one in, where else did I do it? Virginia, I think. So I did that. But the comedy
okay.
clubs aren't as, yeah, the comedy clubs aren't that fantabulous anymore. You know what I'm saying? The best comedy shows you're going to see is like going to Jackson's. Those are the real grassroots joints. Those are better
yes.
than shows, unless you're going to go see like Kevin Hart or somebody's extremely big. But those, a lot of times
right.
those comedy clubs, they get you 2-drink minimum and all of this. That's a lot. You're doing too much. I got to pay to get in, and I got to buy some. I just bought a ticket to get
what?
In. Yeah, they do.
You
got
to pay to get in?
To what? Not me.
That's
I'm saying.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, not me, but I'm saying not me. Everybody else. Like, if I'm
oh.
performing, I ain't got to pay. Even if I'm a comedian and I'm not working tonight or something, I could go into the Funny Bone and I don't have to pay because I'm a comedian.
And that's what's up. That's what's up
yeah.
right there.
Yep.
For real. For real.
Yeah, I've performed there a bunch of times with a lot of people. You
okay.
know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yes.
So
and so where do you see yourself? Where you want to go? What is your dream goal?
I tell you my top dream, you know, is to motivate and inspire people to do things. They think they're too old, you know what I'm saying? And if you 50 plus, 40 plus, yo, we living way longer, so you better not just plan for just 70. You get better plan that you 90 or 100, because that's probably what you're going to make, regardless if you like it or not.
Oh.
That's
yes.
more of You know what I'm saying? That's more of a goal. So if after you retire from this job or what have you, or you don't like the job you're doing, I'm telling you to get out and get something else, get something better. But the other dream
yes.
behind all of that, after inspiring people to live their life,
yeah,
I want to crack the top 10 comedians of all time.
Okay.
You know
and
saying?
You know what? You
because,
can do that.
Yeah, no woman has done it. No woman's in the top 10. If you look, their thing for top 10, it's all men. I'm like,
it's
what?
All men.
All
yep.
Yeah, all adult women we got. You crazy? Not even Whoopi.
For
None.
Real.
For real. Whoopi
Monique.
Should be in there. Yeah,
you got,
there's a lot of them that should be
the
in there.
What's the lady that put the purse on her? She come outside on the stage with her purse all the time. I forgot her name.
Yeah, but you.
Oh my gosh, she crazy.
Yeah, they she crazy to us. She's only that's different. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about all time, meaning black, white, whatever. It don't matter.
Everybody,
like,
yeah.
Everybody. So those they definitely wouldn't be in the top 10 because they can only do one type of crowd. They can't
right.
do a white crowd and make a difference.
Right.
Comedy. If you're funny, you got to be funny to any and everybody. It don't matter if they black, white, whatever. I could do any crowd.
Right.
Even if they don't
and
like
that's
black
a, that's
people.
That's a great, yeah, that's a really great skill because we don't get out of the box. You know, it's same with artists. You know, you
right.
got some people that I love my soul music, my soul gospel, my soul R&B.
Mm-hmm.
I love my soul jazz, the sax, and all of that. But
yeah,
it's like
too.
Some people stuck. And it's like
yeah.
they're only for one crowd, but then they want people, the record comes, they try to get you to cross over. And it's like,
right.
to me, why should you have to cross over, though, if you don't want to?
Nah, you shouldn't. You shouldn't have to cross over. But if you're trying to be in a, if they're like leveling, like I'm saying, a top 10, top 20, if I'm in that realm, it would be nice just because there's no other woman. That's the
right.
See, I be pushing past goals just because of that. Not because I think I'm the greatest
yes.
or nothing like that. It's just that they ain't got no women in the top 10. I don't like that.
No,
so
they don't.
That's what I'm.
No, they don't.
Right, and so that's what I will push for. You know, like me, I just like people. So you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
When I do comedy, it's for
yes.
everybody. I'm funny to everybody.
But don't you believe that you have to have a certain kind of confidence because you have to believe in yourself? Because if you don't believe in yourself, you're not going to get out there. So no one's going to see you.
It's
so
true.
Do you believe
that
there's a certain type of confidence that you need in order to get to that level?
You know what? I think it's a factor of a few things. If you're
okay.
a comedian, your confidence is already there. Right. The thing is,
right.
you have to have what they call a likability factor. When God is just pushing
okay.
you through and you ain't got to work that hard because that's your true journey.
Right.
You understand
yes.
what I'm saying? If certain people
yes.
that are Dave Chappelle, whether people like him or not, Kevin Hart, you understand what I'm saying? He
yes.
has a likability factor. Even though to the hood, his boys
Mike
may
Epps.
Be funnier.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. Yeah, well, he got a likability factor, and he's not an ugly man. You understand what I'm saying?
No.
Right, so it's a few factors that help you. But the likability, even if you are not attractive and you have a likability factor with you, and this is not something you could buy, this ain't something you can work towards, this is something you have been born with. And it's a lot of people
yes,
that
it's called
have
it.
That natural, right, the it factor.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep,
you know, at
absolutely.
First I didn't know what that was until I did a show with Gerald Kelly. I was only 5 months in. I did a show with Gerald Kelly.
Oh, he's been on my show. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my dude.
He's been on
him.
There twice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
yeah.
So he's
funny. He's on the way.
Yeah. He
yes.
told me. So I did a show opening for him, right? And
okay.
Yo, when he finished and stuff like that, he was just like, yo, he said, Karina, he said, your point of view, you know, your stage presence, he said, you got what we call in the industry the it factor. I was like, what? I'm like, what
yep.
that? You know what I'm saying? And
yep.
he said I had it. And that was only 5 months
yep.
in. You know what
yep.
I'm saying? And after that,
that's
I said,
truth.
Okay, let me see what I could do, and I'll just keep working towards it, you know, because I already know it's like, ever since I was a kid, you know, I practiced my signature because I knew
right.
where God was taking me. You know what I mean?
Right.
At an early age,
mm-hmm.
I knew. And so I used to practice all the time. And my teacher's like, what are you doing? I said, I'm practicing my signature. So, like, why? I said, because one day, this is going to be worth a lot of money.
Yes. 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 And I
yeah.
hear you because when I was seven, well, when I
uh-huh.
was two, I was in the paper for art. Okay, and I didn't believe it till my mother showed it to me. I'm still an artist.
Right.
And
no.
and then I performed my first singing performance at five in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And I love singing. That is something I will sing for the Lord. I love it.
Right.
And then I was seven when I first started acting. And so when I was seven, I was drawing mansions. And my mother would be like, what are you doing? And I said, Ma, this is going to be my house. I'm going to have 42 rooms. I'm going to have a basketball court. I'm going to have a train. I would be designing stuff at that age, sitting in my room all day, coloring and writing, you know, just creating stories. And I knew in my heart, in my spirit, something was different from a lot of the other kids because people
right.
would always gravitate to me. And when I was younger, I didn't understand it because I was using that power for wrong because I was bad. I was fighting all the time. I mean, what you say to my girl? You know, exactly. I was acting out. And so it stayed with me. And then I realized as an older, mature person, you got to use your gift for good, not for evil.
Yep.
And
yep.
so, you know, if you have it, which you do, Karina, the sky is the limit. The sky is the limit.
You
know, just
yeah.
keep doing what you're doing. And I thank you so much for being patient and for, you know, being a guest on my show. And
I definitely
want to have you back, you know, sometime near the end of the year if you have time, you know.
Yeah.
So,
definitely.
Yeah. Yes, yes. So keep
definitely.
Doing what you do. Is there any information you want to give out so people can connect with you or know when you're getting ready to perform again?
Sure. On Instagram, Facebook, I am, and TikTok, I am KRINAFORT. Except for Instagram, there's also a one behind it. But yeah, I'm on all of those, and you can see all the stuff that I'm doing, and you can see my TikTok. Come friend me.
Yeah.
Friend you.
Yeah.
Follow me. I follow you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And
Yes.
And then, you know, I've been doing movies down here, so I'll let you know when the next movie I'm in.
Oh, please.
So.
Please.
Yeah, I would definitely do that. I'll definitely
okay.
do that.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. God bless.
All right. God bless you. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, there you have it. That was Karina Fort. And these two ladies just have an inspirational story in their own right of what they're doing and how they are being used. And I believe that, you know, the more pain that you've had to endure, the greater God will use you. And for me in my life, I know the more struggle that I went through, God blesses me double for that. For every rape and molestation I've been through, God has given me a gift for each and every one of those. So when I look back, I understand now. I can speak to somebody and try to inspire them and give them the word of God the best way that I know how, you know, based on what I have overcome, because I'm not telling you something that I learned in a book. I might have been in many ministry courses and training and in schools, but what I tell you is coming from my heart and my own experience. And so everybody's different. Keep that in mind. You know, we are all not here, you know, to do the same thing the same exact way. So you spread the good news the way you spread the good news. And I spread the good news the way I spread the good news. And if God has given you a gift or something, do it. Mine is in, I know it's in the arts and entertainment and media. That's how he's been using me. And so if he decides to use me in a different way and I can hear that clearly, that's what I'm going to have to do. But I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I am going to play a little bit of No Pain, No Gain by Betty Wright. And when I come back, it's just going to be to read off the names of people who have actually been on this show and blessed this show that I have remembered, because I added some names on since the last broadcast. So here we go, No Pain, No Gain.
Loving is better than it's ever been. If it weren't for the trials we've been through, I'd never have the courage to come back to you. We're all entitled to make a mistake. We got to prepare for some heartbreak. I was earning my man while I was earning my man. Something you young girls might not understand. No pain,
no pain,
no pain,
no pain,
no gain,
no gain.
No pain,
no pain,
no pain,
no pain,
no gain,
no gain.
There was an old lady sitting under a tree. She called me over and she said to me, my days left here may not be long. I wouldn't waste my time telling you nothing wrong. But love is a flower that needs the sun and the rain. A little bit of pleasure's worth a whole lot of pain. If you learn this secret, how to forgive, a longer and a better life you'll live. No pain,
no pain,
no pain,
no pain,
no gain,
no gain,
no gain.
No pain,
no pain,
no pain,
no pain,
no gain,
no gain. Anything worth having at all is worth working for and waiting for. Some of my closest friends have thought they had their thing on the string. Just cause that man was bringing them flowers and candy and all kinds of gifts. Mm-mm, honey, some gifts are just to make him feel better while he's on his guilt trip about the night before. You know what I mean. Especially when you know you haven't been doing the things you should do. Think about it. What is the man trying to tell you? Sometimes flowers mean maybe we should just be friends. Do you get my drift? Hang if you can hang. No pain, no gain.
There you have it. That was No Pain, No Gain by Betty Wright. I'm going to read off the names of people that I remembered that have graced this show. Now, Yo-Yo, legendary hip-hop artist, Donnell Jones, Special Ed. They are on my new show, new radio site, Talk to Me Too. I'm going to put that information up for you. Melba Moore, CeCe Peterson, J.J. Harrison, Christopher Williams, Bernard Jackson of Surface, Doobie Powell, Curtis Blow, Stacey Ladislaw Jackson, Glenn Jones, The Green Violinist, Tony Redd, Darren Cookie Moore, Calvin Richardson, Wendell B., J.D. Lawrence, Marcel Lashley's Davies, Richmond Punch, Carmichael the Music Lover, Isaac Zellner, Cool Mike Ski, Wasan Jackson, Craig Kelly, A-Plus Hollywood, Tony Bird, King the Barber, Jonathan Du Bois Jr. and Sr., Ane Du Bois, Kim Mathis, Jeanette Green Washington, Pastor Joseph Green, Avis Daniels, my mom, Andrea Daniels, my sister, Charles, my mom's ex-boyfriend, Sebastian Tribby, LaVon Briggs, Jonathan Gates, Sonia Hudson Payne, Trina Seymour Bowers, Lauren G., Sheila McCoy, who also was a vendor at the event, author M.L. Brooks, one of my other friends who was in charge of the Vendors, Jonathan Gates, Mika Jean, Hope Flood, Howie Bell, J.P. Justice, Rue Frazier, Capone, Jay Alexander, Gerald Kelly, SSW, Pastor Brown, Janice Riff, Easy Taylor, Keisha Rainey, Judah Seeley, Darren Cookie Moore, if I didn't say that already, I thought I did. Anyway, Rashawn Langley, Kiki West, Tiffany Tazell, Omar Wilson, Phoenix Fire, Jay the Comedian, Ms. Conduct, Ricky Allen Drawn, Jay Trini Goring, Coffee Goring, Deborah Williams of Her Game 2, Don Nod Nottingham of The Stylistics, Midnight, Marcia Sapp from New York, Carissa Dow, violinist, John Hinton, Bernadette Barnes from New York, Prophet Ramai Jubalani, Ashley Mondestin, Pierre Guten, Pastor Arlene Henry, Maris Goldstone, Prophetess Brenda Culpepper, Damon Cook, Kia Swintz, Satanya Ford, Odelia, Pastor Felicia Cunningham, Lou Humphrey of BSE Recordings, my cousin, Kent Barrett of WNHU, Jerry Green of WIBC, Rasheen Dixon of WIBC, Steve Wallace, Sierra Clark, Lyle Hassan Jones, Songbird, Dave Farrell, in California, Travis Sims, Jason V. Watts, Dwight Lamar from New York, Herb Boyd Jr., Tyrone Dunmore, Candace Rena, Bobby Ramos, John Lawson, Matthew Kirkwood, Big T, Lachey Nicole, Tamar Jerome Pierre, Greg Hill of the Delphonics, Robbie Jenkins, Marilyn Moore, Naja McKenzie, Najea Treat, Gloria Cummings, Darlene McGee, Pastor Gene Smith, Dr. Green, Rodney Bethia, Lynn Mosher, Darlene Addison, Chandra Shabazz, my cousin, Carolyn Smith, Naja McKenzie, Kayla, I have Kayla here, I don't remember her last name, but she was one of my winners from the talent shows that I used to give, A Star Is Born, Mr. Council, Nene Ali of New York, Frankie Brady, Elder Savannah Gastew, friend of mine, Pamela Wright, good friend of mine, Spencer Camp, Kaylin Jackman of New York, Amari Daniel Bay, Jennifer Armstead, Robert Williams of Blue Magic, Jazz E. Matt, Dr. Jamal Bryant, Jamaica Morrison, Ernest Richards, Pastor Ernest Richards, Michael Jones, Denzel Williams, Gina Blades, Connie Johnson, formerly of the radio show, I was her co-producer on 88.5. My cousin Lamar Taylor, James Fountain, Lisa Mellers, Jeanette Zacks, David Davis, who I interviewed at the Summer Jam, Anthony E. Brown Jr., Ernell Grant, Brian DeCausey, Doremius Williams, Matt Jones, Sheena Bailey of New York, Treasure Marie, Ebony, who I interviewed at the Summer Jam, and she will be coming on this show as well. Kaylee Roselle, Rainey Love, C.C. Lee, Top Notch Band, Norman Tappan, Monique Smith, Nigel, Dr. Jell Dunkley, Janet of Atlanta, Denzel Williams, the Velasquez Singers of New Jersey, Walter Armstead of New York, Ashley Welfare, Walter Taylor, Janice Murray, Lawrence Green of New Jersey, Sammy Maximum, John the Apprentice. Other people I've done media with when I was covering events is Vicky Winans, Pastor Shirley Caesar, Donnie McClurkin, Mighty Clouds of Joy, Jennifer Holiday, Damian Marley, Little John, Sierra, Little Bo, Elephant Man, Terry Crews, Mary, Bobby Valentino, Dietrich Haddon, and so many more. Mr. Brown. So in any case, please tell someone about this show. Forward the link to your friends and your family. Sit back and listen. There's so many people that's been on here. There's got to be some shows that you want to hear and you want to listen to. So thank you so much, and God bless you, and you have a blessed night, and I will be back in 2 more weeks. August 29th will be the next show coming up. Thank you so much. Have a good night.